plenty of bargains.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Every time there's a huge drop in the stock market, the next day, plenty of people are ready to jump back in. It's happening this morning. Sears posted a bigger-than-expected quarterly loss, but its shares are up. GE said its profits will be on the low end this quarter, but its shares are up. Investors are even buying the banks and the car makers. And still, the gains are minimal. The Dow is up 18 points to 8167, just a fraction. The NASDAQ has gained 3 so far, and the S&P 500 is up 4 points. European shares have gained a fraction late in the day. The Asian markets piled on to yesterday's Wall Street plunge, 5 and 6% losses in Asia. I'm sure you're aware that more people are late on their mortgages, but this morning we found out just how many and how bad it might get from the credit agency TransUnion. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The number of mortgage holders who are more than 60 days late with payments usually hovers around 2%. In the third quarter of this year, it was almost 4%. TransUnion's Ezra Becker says those delinquency rates are going to get a lot worse.
Almost 7.2% by the end of 2009. So that's more than tripling the number of consumers that are delinquent on their mortgages. So it is indeed a staggering statistic.
Becker says many adjustable rate mortgages are now resetting at rates homeowners can't afford. Chris Mayer teaches real estate at Columbia Business School. He says these statistics don't automatically translate into a flood of foreclosures. Still,
you know, if you're 60 days late or more on your mortgage, you are facing pretty appreciable risk.
He says this is just one more thing contributing to the economy's downward spiral. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
But not all the news is bad for people with adjustable rate mortgages in this economy. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains that.
Some adjustable rate mortgages are tied to treasury bonds. When the yield on T-bills goes up, the mortgage can reset at a higher interest rate. The converse is also true, as we're seeing now. With the stock market collapsing, many investors sought refuge in the safety of treasury bills. The increased demand brought bond yields down, and homeowners with related adjustable rate mortgages are reaping the benefits.
So for those people, their interest rate might actually be going down.
That's consultant Tom Lawler, who tracks the housing industry. Even if your mortgage is not tied to treasury notes, Lawler says it's a good time to talk to your lender about refinancing.
Because the level of interest rates has come down so much, the probability of being able to get at least some help for troubled borrowers has actually increased considerably over the last 2 weeks.
Also increasing, the number of people picking fixed-rate mortgages. They're at a 20-year high. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Blockbuster is still trying to reinvent itself since in-store video rentals are waning. Today, the company said it'll start selling concert tickets. Blockbuster has a deal with the concert promoters Live Nation. You'll be able to buy tickets at about 500 Blockbuster stores. In Europe, the European Union is working on a stimulus package, but some EU countries are bickering about what to do. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, where's the beef?
On the one hand, you've got the Brits and the French who are in favour, but the Germans are very sceptical about the need for a big reflationary package, even though Germany is already officially in recession.
And the Germans are hesitant because they don't want to go further into debt, to spend more money.
The Germans are getting very alarmed about the ever-widening budget deficits in Europe. At the weekend, the German finance minister was indulging in some pretty lurid rhetoric. He said countries embarking on big deficit spending programs were like lemmings rushing over a cliff.
Well, what does he think about the U.S. and the $8 trillion that have been pledged so far?
Well, they are aghast, frankly. I mean, the Germans don't like debt. The widespread reaction in Germany to last week's latest raft of measures in the US was pretty telling. I mean, many people were horrified, including, it seems, the Chancellor, Angela Merkel. I mean, they do not feel that taxpayers' money should go into, as they see it, encouraging the kind of behaviour that got us into this mess in the first place: excessive lending, borrowing, and overconsumption.
I think a few people here were horrified as well, Stephen. All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
One other note out of Europe this morning, British Airways says it's in talks with the Australian airline Qantas. This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, December 2nd on Marketplace.org. Later today, Barack Obama will give a speech to the National Governors Association in Philadelphia. The governors have one thing on their mind right now, and that's money. Here's Steve Henn.
They need help extending unemployment insurance and paying for the state share of Medicaid. State and local leaders are also hoping any big stimulus plan will include billions for new construction projects. Joe Hackney is the Speaker of North Carolina's State House and President of the National Conference of State Legislators.
We have projects ready to go all across the country for infrastructure.
The U.S. Conference of Mayors already identified $90 billion in projects just waiting for funding. But right now, Hackney says state and local governments are being forced to trim spending instead.
So far, the cuts have amounted to over $50 billion across state governments.
Most states aren't permitted to run a budget deficit, so when their economies slow, they have to lay off workers or raise taxes to balance the books. Hackney says without federal help, state budget problems could make this bad economy even worse. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
I'm not sure where all this money is going to come from. Beyond the promises to banks and other companies, the government can't keep a visitor center budget in line. The new Welcome Center on Capitol Hill opens today, and it is hundreds of millions of dollars over budget. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Congress's new Welcome Center features acres of sandstone and pink marble floors. There are interactive computer displays and theaters. The initial cost was pegged at $71 million in the early 1990s. The final price tag, $621 million. What happened? 9/11, for one. Spokeswoman Sharon Gang.
The scope of the project changed. The ceremonial groundbreaking took place in 2000. Our world changed after that.
Two expensive new tunnels were added, and Congress expanded the project to include office space. But Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington says the ballooning costs were also due to wasteful contracts and a lack of congressional oversight.
They had basically an open checkbook, so they weren't really worried like you or I would be if we were renovating our house.
Sloan says Congress should take responsibility for the cost overruns, but that's not on the agenda for today's opening ceremony, which is closed to the public. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
New York University is planning to open a new campus, not in Albany or Rochester or Buffalo, in Abu Dhabi. The United Arab Emirates invited the school to set up shop. It'll be the first major American university to open a standalone campus in that region. But not everyone is happy about this move. Sally Herships reports.
The Abu Dhabi campus will look similar to New York on paper, offering courses in the same degrees, but it'll look a lot more exotic on the ground. It'll share space on an island with branches of the Louvre and Guggenheim. Fortunately for NYU, the United Arab Emirates agreed to pick up the tab for the entire project. When the campus is completed in 2012, University President John Sexton hopes it will attract as many as 2,000 of the best students from all over the globe.
We I think, are making a leadership move here, not a move that's designed to emulate others. We will not admit a single student in order to meet a targeted numerical goal.
Sexton says NYU's intent isn't to rake in more money, but Professor Andrew Ross is skeptical. He's a department chair at NYU and says he's one of a number of academics who oppose the move. He says the decision to set up shop in Abu Dhabi is a sellout.
We should not be like Morgan Stanley, open to the highest bidder to be bought if the price is right.
NYU is offering professors salary increases of at least 50% to head east. Ross says recently there's been a stampede of universities moving offshore. Like corporations, he says, schools can save money by building in emerging markets. But Ross says they're racking up costs in other areas. He's concerned about the treatment of migrant workers who will be doing construction on the project.
We don't want to have NYU instructional staff teaching on a campus that is being built, like on a sweatshop model.
Una Chowdhury teaches English at NYU. she sees the initiative as an opportunity for students to get to know more about the world.
It's just vital for America and for the West in general to begin to have a much better, deeper interaction with Islamic societies.
John Sexton says it will cost as much as $100 million a year just to run the new campus. But he says that's about the same as it costs to run a college in the U.S. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
If there's such a thing as good economic fallout, maybe it's the price of gasoline. Most places, gas is $2 or less, even here in California. And at two stations in Pasadena, it's even cheaper. Cash Peters has more.
You've probably never heard of Garo Gas, but in Pasadena, California, the owners of this tiny little independent gas station are like folk heroes, selling gas way cheaper than the big boys. The owner, Homipata Meladonia, is all over TV.
We gave a good price for everybody, and it became news.
It did. But that's not all. Garo Gas has a rival, Fastop, they're called. They're right next door. In fact, last week, when Fastop put gas on sale at $1.69, the Garo guys thought, nuts to that, and immediately undercut them by a penny. Well, customers were all over the place like termites. It was chaos. Joe Wilson's a regular.
These two stations have gas wars periodically. I don't know who starts it or what, but normally that guy's cheaper and these people are expensive.
Why did you come here?
The cheapest gas I've seen, brother. 1 cent make a difference.
Part of it is the game of it, to try and find the best price, so it's kind of fun.
They're coming in this way, they're coming every which way, you know?
It's crazy. Yeah, it is.
Have you ever had to go in there and sort out a fight?
No, not really, no. People eventually get along.
Yeah, well, not everyone. I found one guy filling up at Fastop who had some kind of grudge against Garo and refused to go there. To heck with their fancy low price.
The one next door?
Yeah, I mean, it's $1.68 next door. You could have saved a penny.
Huh? I didn't care about the penny. I don't like that guy.
Oh, so it's like a personal thing?
Yes.
Wow, it's like the old West. Every day is a showdown. In fact, I told Fastop that, breaking news, Garo Gas had lowered its price by another penny. That didn't go down well.
Well, we just had it at $1.69. They must have dropped their prices.
So why didn't you lower yours now by 2 cents and you'll get all his customers?
If we go any lower, we're going to lose out.
And Lord knows we wouldn't want a gas station to lose out, right? To summarize this then, people are cheap, right? It's okay to insult your customers, don't worry.
No, it is true. That's obvious.
I'm cheap too. But not that cheap. I'm not crazy.
Well, that's open to debate, frankly. In Pasadena, California, I'm Cash Peters for Marketplace.
If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in the economy, visit our website, marketplace.org. We have blogs and some great features, including the Marketplace Decoder and the Whiteboard. Check it out. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.